Okay, today's message is from our own Daniel Miyamoto. Lessons on teamwork from the Green Bay Packers.
Check. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, they didn't make the Super Bowl this year, right? So, how many people are Patriots fans, just as a show of hands? Patriots, how many people like the Eagles? Okay, a little bit more Eagle fans. After Joel did his thing this morning, yeah. Okay, by the way, anybody know what the name of the trophy is for the Super Bowl? The winner of the Lombardi Trophy. Hey, good job. You can show that picture. Vince Lombardi was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And he was the coach from 1959 to 1967. He was, in those years, he won the National Football League Championship 6 times out of the 9 and the first 2 Super Bowls. If you could show up the picture. There you go. There's Vince. Okay, so he was a great coach. One of the things I remember he said that very few people know is that he said, as far as your life is concerned, he tells his players, number 1 is God, number 2 is your family, number 3 is the Green Bay Packers. It's something. So in that order, he would tell them, okay? But anyway, when I was young, in elementary school, my father started reading this book called Instant Replay. It was by Jerry Kramer. He was the right guard, offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, and somebody approached him to do a diary of the 1967 season. Nobody knew that they were going to go to the Super Bowl or whatever, so he decided to take this diary, and he talked about what went on throughout the season. And I found it fascinating to have an insight into what professional football was like, what the locker room was like, what the coach was like, and all of that. And I was fascinated that this team was the best of all time at that time. I mean, they were just dominant at that time. What made a good team? And it got me thinking, as I was thinking about the Super Bowl, what makes a good team here at church? What makes our church a great team? What makes us work together well? And I thought, there are some things, there are some parallels that we can draw, but mainly we want to know what the Bible says, what the Bible is telling us about teamwork, okay? And I'm going to bring some illustrations from that team, the Green Bay Packers, and their coach, Vince Lombardi, okay? So let's look to the Lord in prayer as we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We can share, and we know that the Super Bowl is kind of a big thing. But Lord, we pray that we can glean some information, some knowledge, and some truth, and some wisdom from your word, especially, about what true teamwork is like and what your plan is for our church as far as working together with one another. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. in recent years, I think competition has been kind of watered down. If you notice in soccer, the kids, they play at the beginning and they don't keep score, right? Nobody knows who wins anymore. They do that. The high schools have dropped to 3 divisions, right? Because they don't want people to feel bad or get beaten up. So they have 3 divisions based on how good they are. They even do it in bowling. There used to be only 2 divisions at the national tournament. They've split it to 3. The women have split it to 6 different divisions. So competition over time has been watered down. It's not just about the one winner. It's been about participation, if you notice. But is that necessarily biblical? What does God say about that? Let's take a look at this scripture. And before that, see if anybody remembers, what does Vince Lombardi say? He said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing, right? That's his thing. He said, it's not a sometime thing here, it's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while, you don't do things right once in a while, you do them right all the time. That was his theory. Okay, but let's take a look at Philippians 3, 12 through 14. And go ahead and read that. Let's see. Okay, Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Is that you got a backup one. Sorry. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay, so he says he presses forward to win the prize. Yeah. He doesn't press forward for second place. He presses forward like he wants to be the winner. Okay, and so what is a win as far as the church is concerned? That begs the question, right? What is a win? If you're in a football team, professional football team, you want to win your conference, you want to win your division, you want to get to the Super Bowl, and you want to win the Super Bowl. Very simple goals as far as a football team is concerned. Well, what is a win regarding our church? Well, I want to use this as a very general goal for our church, okay? The Great Commission in Matthew 28:18. If you can read this together with me, ready, go. Then Jesus, okay, you got it? Okay, sorry. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Okay, so for the sake of this message, and in general, our mission is the Great Commission. We are to make disciples, right? Now, we do that in the context of Matthew 22:27-40, where he talks about the two greatest commandments. The two greatest commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself, okay? So we are doing that. The win is to make disciples in the context of loving God and loving people, okay? So keep that in mind as we talk about teamwork. There is a goal. There is a goal that we're trying to accomplish here at church, and that is to make disciples along with loving people and loving God, okay? So let's move a little bit forward. The qualities. What are the qualities of a good team? One of the qualities of a good team, the first quality of a good team is servant leadership, okay? Now, Don Cousins comes here to speak at the hymn conference. By the way, he has a son who plays football. He's a quarterback in the NFL. But he said this about leadership, okay? A leader is someone who helps others get where they want to go but cannot get there on their own. Okay, let's try that again. Read it with me. A leader is someone who helps others get where they want to go but cannot get there on their own. Okay? Because people think of leader as somebody who's at the top telling everybody what to do, right? They get a task done. But according to Don Cousins, he says that's not the case. But where does he get that? He gets that from this scripture, Matthew 20:40-28. And it says here, and I'll just read it, "When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. What happened was the mother came and said, 'Jesus, can you put one of my sons on your right and one on your left? Right? And the other guys said, "Hey, wow, how dare you do that? What about us?" Right? Kind of thing. And they got indignant, okay? So it said the 10 heard about this. They were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, most people don't think of Coach Lombardi as a servant guy. If you know anything about him, he was mean. I mean, he's 5'8", 170 pounds. He was part of Fordham University's seven blocks of granite. He's famous. There's actually a monument at Fordham. When he played, he was 5'8", 170, but he's one of the offensive linemen, and he was one of the seven blocks of granite, if you can imagine, playing with guys 6 feet tall and bigger. That's the kind of fierce competitiveness that he had, and he took that with him when he coached. So people don't think of him as a servant leader. But I wanted to show an example of what he did. If you can go to this picture, Bart Starr was a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He went to University of Alabama. His sophomore year, he was pretty good. His junior year, he got hurt, so he didn't get to play. And he was looking forward to his senior year. He got to school his senior year, and the coach, they changed coaches. The new coach was so disgusted, he said, you know what? Everybody who was here before is benched. I'm going to start with all new guys. So he was the starting quarterback now before he got hurt, and all of a sudden he couldn't play his senior year. And he lost confidence, totally lost confidence in himself. Now, back then, they had 20 rounds for draft. Now they only have 7. They had 20 rounds of draft. Somebody in the 20th round from the Green Bay Packers in the front office said, you know, this guy, Bart Starr, he was not bad a few years ago, I guess. I don't know what happened to him. It's the 20th round. What the heck? Let's just pick him. And so they picked Bart Starr. Now, Vince Lombardi wasn't the coach back then. So when Vince Lombardi became the coach, 2 years later, he had a tryout. And he decided Bart Starr is the best quarterback, or he can be the best quarterback on this team, but there's a problem here. He has no confidence in himself. He has no confidence in his abilities. He was drafted in the 20th round. Nobody thinks anybody in the 20th round is that good. So what he did was he traded the first-string quarterback away. And he said, Bart, you are the man. You're the one who's going to take us to the championship. And he gave him that confidence, and he said, I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to help you become a good quarterback. And Bart Starr was with Lombardi when they won those 6 National Football League championships and the 2 Super Bowls. And you can see where Vince Lombardi took somebody who wanted to go someplace but didn't know how and couldn't get there himself, and he got him there. That's servant leadership, where you try to lead by example, okay? And so we want to do that in the church. How do we do that in the church? The ushers, they help all the time. They help people get to their seats. They get them someplace that they need to go, but they don't know how. They tell them where the bathroom is, maybe the new people, where the bathroom is, and so forth. The cap people, they help the young people downstairs so that the adults can stay in the service and they can enjoy the service and hear God's word. The worship team, help us get into a worshipful atmosphere, right? Into a mood of worship that we can't get there quite on our own. We can't sing by ourselves. Not the same, right? They help us get there. And that's what that servant leadership is about. And it's all through the church. And that's how we lead. It's not just the guys at the top telling everybody what to do, but it's everyone taking a step of leadership and being a servant leadership, helping somebody to get to where they want to go and they can't get there themselves. Okay? So, first thing we said, servant leadership. Number 2, quality of a good team. Good teams are committed to the fundamentals. If anybody has played music, I cannot imagine how many times Sayaka had to sing that song. How many times would you estimate you practiced that song that we did for Christmas? Yeah, right? I mean, when you do something like that, you kind of do it till you get sick of it, right? Basically. But when you do that, it comes out in the execution. The Green Bay Packers were known for their execution. They weren't fancy, but they executed. Everybody who came to the Green Bay Packers from another team said, nobody conditions like you guys. No other team conditions like you guys. No other team repeats like you guys. Nobody trains like you guys. But nobody executed like the Green Bay Packers either. Okay? So good teams are committed to the fundamentals. What are the fundamentals of the church? So we're going to make you sick of this. The wheel illustration is the fundamentals, right? Again, we hear this all the time. Talk about, I'm going to go through this real quick because everybody, most people here know this already. The first thing is Christ the center. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in Christ he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So if you're in Christ, so Christ needs to be center of your life. Second, the outside rim of the wheel is the obedient Christian. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's all about obedience. Okay, we are the obedient Christian. The word of God is the next spoke. The word of God is the Bible. It is also God's playbook. We need to know what the playbook says so we know how to execute what God says, right? 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Next book is prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is necessary. Somebody once said that a day without prayer is a boast against God. Right? If you don't pray, you're saying, I don't need you, God. Okay? Prayer is necessary. Next book is fellowship. We must be in fellowship with other believers. God did not mean for us to be a Christian alone. We were meant to be in fellowship with one another. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And of course, the last one is evangelism, and that's sharing the gospel with the world. Okay, as Tazona Sensei said last week, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? So that Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, so that's the basics of the Christian life that we put forward here at West Oahu Christian Church. We need these things. And sometimes we're going to keep on harping on this and it's going to seem like we're getting tired of it. But then the execution, it comes out in the execution. When the word is important in every ministry that we do. Fellowship is important in every ministry that we do. Evangelism is important in every, you know, all the spokes. And we are all trying to obey Christ, and the center is Jesus, right? Okay, so those are the Christian basics. So, number one, every church has, every good team has certain leadership. Number two, they have a great commitment to the fundamentals. Number three is they have unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. If we take a look at if we take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to talk about the diversity part first, okay? And this is how it goes. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Okay? So all of us have this diversity of gifts. Yes, everybody has something different. And he likens it to the parts of the body, right? And later on he talks about if the eye can't see, you know, to the hand and so forth, I don't need you and so forth, right? And so everybody has a different gift that they can use within the body of Christ. Now, the unity part is here. That the next one says, just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it will not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it will not for that reason stop being part of the body. So there's a unity, there's a diversity, and there's also a unity where everybody has the same goal, the same purpose, and so forth, and they work together. Every team has different positions and roles, right? Robert is a piano player. John is a guitar player. He also leads. Sayaka is singing and she's playing bass. Martha is singing here. Everybody has these different roles to play, different gifts, different roles to play. And people are placed in those roles based on their gifts and abilities, right? But really, the sign of a good team is not that we have all these great players. The sign of a great team is not necessarily that when everything goes well. The sign of a good team is how things go when things are not going well, right? That's the sign of a good team. Not when we have all the pieces together and everything's working well. The Patriots this year, they went through the whole season, I think, without one of their main wide receivers, Edelman. They didn't have their tight end Gronk for many games. You know, everybody remembers the University of Hawaii football team, right? Colt Brennan, they went to the Sugar Bowl and all of that. Remember that Colt Brennan was out for part of a game and one whole game. They had to win that game to get to the Sugar Bowl without our star quarterback. Somebody had to come in and take his place. In Vince Lombardi's Super Bowl year that I was reading about, Bart Starr was hurt for about 3 games, I think. But the team came together, and they made it, and they worked together when things didn't go well, right? I mean, along with during the game, there are interceptions, fumbles, and things like that. People, there are always things that go badly, but is the team good enough to stick together through all of that? One of the things that I was always appreciative of is how this church has come together when we've had problems. When we didn't have a pastor, how people would step up and either preach or they would do the things that the pastor used to do. When Stan was out for a while, people just, you know, they came forward and they took care of what needed to get done. And it was a team effort to do it because we wanted to keep the church together. We had a singular goal we wanted to accomplish. And one of us was hurt and we needed to take care of that. So, as Paul says in the chapter later, he says, if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one is honored, every part rejoices with it. So what is our attitude when things go poorly? Do we give up? Do we pout? Do we make excuses? Can you imagine a defensive back missing his assignment and the guy catches the ball, is running free, and everybody says, just let him go. Let him score already. That wasn't my problem. That wasn't my mistake. No, the rest of the team goes and chases the guy down, right? So what is our attitude when it comes to things, when things go wrong? Are we able to come forward and help support the rest of the body? Okay? So there's a unity in the diversity of the body of Christ, okay? So that's so first is leadership, the servant leadership. Second is commitment to the fundamentals. Third is unity in diversity. But at the end of chapter 12, when he's talking about all these gifts and so forth, he says something else right at the end, before chapter 13. And I show you a still more excellent way. And of course, he goes to First Corinthians chapter 13. And the more excellent way is love, right? Great teams love one another. All coaches will tell you that. If you have a team that has love for one another, they function way better if they care for one another, if they love one another. Our coach, University of Hawaii, Rolo, says, play smart, play fast, and play for each other, he says. It's very important. Every coach says you need to have that. If you don't have that, your team might be good, but they're not going to be great. That love is important. Let's look at some of these qualities of love. And this one, if you can read it with me, ready, go. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. As I read this, I thought, God is touching my heart with thinking, all these times that I haven't been patient with my teammates, people in the church, how many times I haven't been kind to my friends in the church, that I've been envious of the gifts that they had rather than rejoicing in the gifts that God has given me, that I boasted because of my insecurities, that I have to prop myself up to see how good I was because of my insecurity. How many times I'm easily angered, Something just sets me off and I get mad. How many times I keep a record of wrongs of people who have done wrong to me. But the Bible here says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. Jerry Kramer, who wrote that book, Instant Replay, talked about going to see Vince Lombardi in the hospital. Vince Lombardi coached till 1967. He retired for 1 year. He went back to coach the Redskins for 1 year. And from a losing record, they went to 7-5. But then he contracted cancer. And in 1970, he passed away. And Jerry Kramer talks about walking into the hospital to see Vince Lombardi. And he saw this man who was so vibrant while he was coaching. He was so vibrant, so excited to coach and so forth. And he saw him there on the hospital bed dying. And in his words, he said, I had this strange feeling when I saw him in the hospital bed. I felt like I wanted to take the cancer with him. I wanted to fight the cancer with him. You know, because there was nothing we couldn't lick when we were together. There's nothing we couldn't lick or beat when we were together. That's how we need to be in our church. But you know, Vince Lombardi passed away. But we have a coach who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And there is nothing that we cannot do if we stick together with God and take direction from our coach, Jesus. Amen? I'm going to conclude with something, if the praise team would come up. So great teams have great servant leadership. They pay great attention to fundamentals. They have people using their gifts and their talents to work together in diversity and unity. But more importantly, they love each other, and that love holds that team together. It's that kind of love that is going to win our world for Christ. Now, some of you may have never accepted Christ, never joined God's team. Abraham Lincoln said, my concern is not whether God is on my side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. If you have never accepted Jesus in your heart, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Would you like to be part of God's team? And if you'd like to be part of God's team, I'm going to ask you to stand in a second. But we know that all have sinned. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes me, that includes all of you. Right? Everyone has done something against God's commandments. But it says the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us life. Through his death, he died so that our sins would be forgiven and we could live with him forever. That is the promise that God has given each of us. If you've never given your life to Christ and you would like to do that, you'd like to become one of God's team, a member of God's team. Can I see your hand? Just put your hand up if you've never done that before. Thank you. Now, for those of us who have already joined God's team, we're part of God's team here, I want to ask a question of ourselves. How can we be a better team? Can I be a better servant leader? Can I help somebody get to someplace that they want to go, they need to go, but they can't get there by themselves? Can I help them do that? Do I need to focus on the fundamentals maybe? Maybe I need to pray more often. Maybe I need to share the gospel more often with people. Maybe I need to make Christ the center of my life more, to obey him more. Maybe those fundamentals are what we need to focus on. Or can we use our diverse gifts, the gifts that God has given us, to bless the Lord and to be a part of his team and to help the team to win, which is to win people for Jesus? Can we use our gifts to do that? Or can we love our neighbors, our teammates, in a more meaningful way? greater love has no man than this, that he give his life for his brother. All of those things make up a great team. I ask that you challenge yourself to say, what is it I can do to be a better teammate for Jesus? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for all that you've told us in your word about teamwork. And we pray that we can be a better team for you, because there are many people who need to know Jesus. There are people who need to know the Lord, who need to become disciples, Lord, so that they can better serve. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We pray that in the following days, you will guide us into what we need to do to be better servants, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.